Welcome back to the show. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. Twin Peaks returns this weekend to Showtime.
I got idea, man. You take me for a walk under the sycamore tree. The dark trees that blow, baby, in the dark trees that blow.
A TV show that features a song like that is out of the ordinary. And it is out of the ordinary. Twin Peaks aired 26-ish years ago. The prequel movie aired a couple years after that, and it is back this weekend on Showtime. I don't know how to exactly explain it, so we brought in our old friend Brad Dukes. He wrote the book Reflections, an Oral History of Twin Peaks, which you can order a paperback version of or just get the Kindle version right online at Amazon.com. Brad's on the phone right now. Good morning, Brad. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
It's going well. I'm very excited, Brad. I know you are totally geeked out because when you and I first talked about your book a couple years ago, we had no idea that this was actually going to happen, that this show was actually going to come back, right?
Yeah, that feels like a lifetime ago.
It does feel like a lifetime ago. How long has your book been out? 3 years now?
3 years in July, yeah.
Okay. So back then you did an oral history of Twin Peaks because, not because the show was coming back, but because it was such a legendary, groundbreaking show. Now, you and I have had this conversation a couple times, and I feel with the show coming back this weekend, we ought to do a quick kind of not give anything away, but a bit of a synopsis, because I think there's a lot of people out there who just, you know, let's face it, it came and went in a flash. And while it was insanely popular, a lot of people blinked and missed it because it ran 8 episodes. Then there was a second season that was very hot at the beginning and then cooled off very quickly, so much so that despite how groundbreaking and innovative and popular this show was at the beginning, it got unpopular so quickly that it was canceled before there was ever even a third season. Was that as much because the show had fizzled or because the people working on it said, we don't exactly have a place to go next?
I think the audience was just worn out. I think everybody wanted to know that central mystery that happened in that first episode. Who killed Laura Palmer? This young, popular woman gets killed. And, you know, I think the creators didn't plan on the audience reacting like that, just demanding to know. I think they thought it was a gateway to that world. But it kind of ended up working against them. People got frustrated when they didn't reveal who killed her at the end of those first 8 episodes.
All right, so we'll do a quick synopsis here. I'll start. You fill in the blanks or tell me what else we need to add or what I should avoid. But the basic premise of the show is it opens with a murder mystery, you know, basic television premise. The homecoming queen of the town, Laura Palmer, is found dead. And so the whole crux of the first, you know, 8 to 15 episodes of the show around the mystery of who killed Laura Palmer. And that introduces a whole cast of characters in this town of Twin Peaks up in the Pacific Northwest. Beautiful, little, quiet, sleepy, couple of stoplight town. Population of 51,000, though it feels smaller than that. But it's still a small area. And the FBI agent comes to town to help solve this mystery because it's believed to be linked to another murder that had happened. And so Kyle MacLachlan, who plays his most famous character, FBI agent Dale Cooper, comes to town, and we meet a whole cast of characters in this very quirky, odd little town. And so the first 8 episodes that were the first that aired, followed by about the first 8 episodes of the second season, is when we finally wrap up the murder mystery. Is that right, Mark? Is it about 16 episodes altogether till the, and the murder mystery, the audience finds out who the killer is a few episodes before the show catches up to it. So we know who it is, and then we see law enforcement still trying to circle the wagons and figure out who it is and wrap all that up. And that takes about 16 episodes altogether, I want to say, Mark. Is that right?
That's right. It's about 16 episodes. And, I mean, if you want to watch Twin Peaks on Sunday, you definitely have to at least need to check out those first 16 episodes. I mean, that's such a great story. And, you know, it's You can skip around a little bit after that.
You can skip around a lot after that, Mark. You and I can debate that. But yeah, I will agree with you that you're right. The first 8 episodes of the first season, everything, watch it. And up until you find out not only who killed Laura Palmer, but they close off that storyline till the killer is caught, I would watch every single thing until that is solved. After that, then we could debate, you know, how much you need to watch. Because that's the thing. If you're going to jump in on Sunday night and watch this, I feel like it, you know, I worry that, you know, because I rewatched the movie tonight. So after the series ended, about a year later, there was a prequel movie. So the prequel is about Laura Palmer. We know that Laura Palmer is who dies in the first episode. The prequel movie is all about Laura Palmer, who she was, what her life was, and what led up to her dying. And I feel like it's going to help if you know a lot of this stuff, because I don't know. I don't see David Lynch being someone who says, well, I really want to make this for somebody who never saw Twin Peaks before. I'm guessing it's more for, you know, the people that watched it, that were fans of it. Would you agree that it's unlikely to be incredibly welcoming to somebody who has never seen or heard or knows of this show?
Well, so I think if you're watching those first 16 episodes, I mean, I don't like to admit this, but when I was growing up, I would show every girl I dated Twin Peaks. Like, they would have to watch it and accept it for me, you know, to proceed in the relationship.
Sure.
But after we got through that mystery, I would probably just skip all the way to the finale and give them a quick synopsis of what's been going on.
Yeah.
Because that last episode is one of the greatest episodes in television history, and
ooh,
it's going to directly open up that gateway to this third season, I think.
Yeah, we would imagine so. And so I would agree that there is, you know, there's all these side stories in Twin Peaks that were really fun and funky early on. But once they wrap up the murder mystery, there's this whole subplot of Peggy Lipton, who was from the Mod Squad, who was on the original show, owns this diner and is in love with a man who was her high school sweetheart. But she married a guy who's now in jail and involved in all this stuff. And her boyfriend, Big Ed, married a woman who is the quirkiest character probably on the show. She has an eye patch. She has superhuman strength. Her obsession is inventing noiseless drape runners. And so they have some really good, fun quirkiness during the whole murder mystery. But then after that murder mystery is over, the show kind of had to figure out where to go, and they start leaning on her a little more. And I feel like, yeah, that's weird. There's a whole sawmill side story about the family that owns the sawmill and the stuff they're involved in. That is okay, but it's kind of cumbersome. The guy who owns the Great Northern Hotel, who's trying to open up this housing complex or resort complex, he's trying to sell all this land and make all this money. His stuff just becomes kind of a sideshow. Like, you're right. Everything else, to me, everything that doesn't involve Agent Dale Cooper, you can just skip. I do like his old partner. The new murder mystery is kind of his old partner who was in the insane asylum, has escaped the insane asylum. He's sending Coop messages now, and it seems like he's coming back to get him. And so, you know, all of that. And we failed to mention that with this whole murder mystery and with the FBI agent coming to town, there is a supernatural part of this show too. A little sci-fi, because it's not just there was a murder, we're figuring out who did it, but also there's some supernatural phenomena about the area of Twin Peaks as the local sheriff and people tell Cooper there is an evil in the woods. I can't remember if they say an evil or a darkness in the woods, but there is something in the woods that they've always tried to fight against but have realized is there and part of their lives. And so that all plays into the murder and what's going on and carries through with the storyline of his old partner who has come back and some murders he's committing that they have to figure out and try to stop. And as you said, all leads up to the finale, which is a great 26-year cliffhanger, to say the least. I mean, it does not wrap it all up in a tidy little bow for you. They leave you hanging at the end of it. But I would agree. So after those 16 episodes, and once the everything is put to bed with who killed Laura Palmer, I feel like you can skip everything except, unless you've got somebody to explain it to you, like you did with all your girlfriends, you probably need to know a little bit about what's going on with Dale Cooper so you can figure out kind of where we get at the end. And there's some good stuff there. The show is still good. I did like, as I was rewatching it this week, Sherilyn Fenn played Audrey Horne. I actually liked her storyline with Billy Zane, as dumb as it seems, about her falling in love with Billy Zane, who flies into town. There was some good stuff there, but for the most part, there's a reason why it got canceled at the end of that second season, and that's because there was nothing incredibly gripping to follow. But the supernatural kind of phenomenon of the show, and the mystery and people, you know, it's kind of X-Files, kind of Lost, like people debating, what does this all mean? Where is it leading? And what is it? There's a lot of visions that Agent Dale Cooper has where he gets told things and that plays out into the murder and how he solves it and things like that. And so after the series ends, Brad, a couple years later, they have a prequel movie. So David Lynch makes a full-on feature film, Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, and that is Laura Palmer and her life and what leads up to her death. And I watched that again tonight for the first time in I don't know how many years, probably 10 or 15 years. I haven't seen it forever. And I've been starting to read more about Twin Peaks this week leading up to the premiere. And I'm laughing, Brad, as you must be, seeing the cast do all these appearances where they say absolutely not a damn thing about what you're going to see on the show. I feel bad for like Good Morning America or Jimmy Fallon, whoever has them on. And hey, welcome back. Twin Peaks is so great. Yeah, what's happening? We haven't even read this. You know, nobody, they won't say anything. And I keep hearing that Kyle MacLachlan is the only person in this show who actually got to read the entire script, that most people just knew their parts and nothing else.
That is correct. This has been a top secret covert operation for over 2 years. And you're right. Kyle is the only guy that knows everything that's happening on the cast. And I think it's going to be a surprise even for the cast when they see this thing.
It sounds like it. Now, they had a red carpet premiere on Friday night, I guess, in L.A. Did you hear anything about that afterwards? Did they just watch the first hour or the first 2 hours that Showtime showing this weekend? What did they see at that premiere? Do you know?
I know that, you know, it just happened a few hours ago, and it was the first 2 hours, and I don't know anything. I don't want to know anything. I really want to go back into that world with nobody's opinion. It's just a pure thing. I don't need any influence going into it.
Now, Brad, you and I talked not that long ago, and I know you are glossing over a little bit because you're saying you want to go in completely not knowing, but I know you saw something or heard something because you alluded to last time that you maybe know a little bit about it, that maybe you're not allowed to say, but you know a little something about what we're expecting, don't you? Just admit it.
I know a tip of the iceberg, yeah.
Okay. That's fine. That's all you have to say. All right, so let's get into a little bit more just of the show and where it left off. Now, where the show leaves off, as we said, there's a great cliffhanger especially with the special agent Dale Cooper. And all these other little storylines are kind of left oddly hanging. So Shelley Machen Amick, the great, is it pronounced Machen? How do you pronounce her first name correctly?
It's Machen.
Machen Amick, wonderful actress who kind of burst onto the scene as Shelley Johnson on the show, waitress at the diner, involved with a bad guy husband, but cheating on him with the bad boy high school football player who is Laura's boyfriend. And her husband's a drug dealer and a all around no good guy who abuses her and is just a jerk. He is left at the end of the series, tied up by Cooper's old partner who's on the loose in Twin Peaks. And he's left tied up with a string around one of his, or he's holding a string in his mouth that if he lets go a box ish of a bunch of spiders will fall on his head. Venomous spiders will fall on his head. And that's how the show ends with him. And it just cracks me up that there's some things that I know that David Lynch wasn't as involved in the second season, not till that last episode, but are you surprised at all that how they left some of these things? Or do you think that's just Lynch-esque that, you know, I don't have to answer every question. Some of it's just left to the imagination. And do you think the show will go back and tie up some of those things that they just kind of appeared to run out of steam with, or just decide, well, we don't really have to answer that in the end?
I think that some of those cliffhangers, like with Leo Johnson, it was sort of an incentive to the network if they wanted to renew the show. Because, I mean, it's a business. I think they wanted to keep going, but, you know, had fallen off the track.
Brad, I thought when they made that final episode and Lynch came back for it, I thought they knew that is the final episode.
I think there was a glimmer of hope. They had not been technically canceled yet, but when a few weeks after they handed that episode in, they were canceled.
Okay. So maybe when they were making it, they left a few things out there. One thing that was answered a few episodes before that, and I don't want to give too much away on the show, but since this is something we're saying you can just fast forward through anyways, I'm not going to worry too much about it. There was a whole storyline with about this sawmill, and it's a great storyline in the first 16 episodes about, you know, backstabbing and people trying to get control of the sawmill and a murder mystery in and of itself and all things like that. With a beautiful Asian woman, Joan Chen, who plays Josie, who married into this family. Her husband died. Now she has control of it. The husband's sister's trying to get rest control back, et cetera, et cetera. She's also in love with the local town sheriff, played by Michael Ankeen, who's a wonderful role for him throughout this. And in the later episodes, she ends up becoming part of the supernatural phenomena. She dies and seems to be trapped in this other world. And then that just goes away. And that never got re-dealt with at all. And that does frustrate me a little bit, because I always want to, Brad, you know, there's a lot of supernatural stuff that you try to interpret and try to figure out, okay, what does this mean? What did that guy mean? What is what he's saying mean? There's all these things that are so left open to try to figure out. And so I want to imagine that they actually knew what they were doing the whole time, and this does actually mean something, and you know, you can figure it out, or maybe you can't, but we could explain it. But the way they left off Josie's storyline and how it doesn't play into anything else that we see before the series ends leaves me feeling like they kind of crapped out on that one.
Yeah, well, Joan Chen is not announced to be on the cast, and nobody saw her at the premiere last night. So I wouldn't hold your breath to find out. But, you know, I know we've talked about sort of fast-forwarding past some of this stuff, but there is some really crazy, cool stuff to revisit. Like Joan Chen being trapped in a wooden doorknob. And, I mean, Diane Keaton directed an episode. And
she did?
Michael Parks, who...
I didn't know that Diane Keaton directed one of the episodes. No. Wow.
it definitely sticks out. I mean, photographically and the feel of it, you can tell it's a little bit different flavor of Twin Peaks.
That's not the episode where Josie dies, is it?
No, I believe Diane directed, I think, two or three episodes after that.
Wow, that's interesting. All right, we have to take a quick break and get the news. Can you hang on for a little bit? Because we got a lot more to talk about, including the prequel movie, which you and I have never talked about on the air before, because we've only talked about the series. And I think that really, it got terrible reviews at the time. It got booed and jeered at the film festival. Quentin Tarantino lashed out at David Lynch afterwards. I didn't know all of that until today. And then I watched the movie tonight, and it's really, really good.
It is. And yeah, I can't wait to talk about it.
Okay, excellent. Brad Dukes, the book is Reflections, An Oral History of Twin Peaks. It's available online. You can download it to read it before the premiere on Sunday night. We'll tell you a little bit more about what you can watch. You can get it on Netflix. You can get it on Amazon. If you have Showtime, you probably can on demand all of the episodes right now, and the movie that we'll talk about a little bit after the news. 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. We're listening to a little bit of theme from Twin Peaks. This is from the Fire Walk With Me soundtrack. That's the prequel movie that came out after the series ended. We're speaking with Brad Dukes. His book, Reflections, An Oral History of Twin Peaks, available online. You can download it, purchase it, read it while you rifle through the show this weekend before the show comes back after about a 26-year absence. It will premiere on Showtime, 8 o'clock Central Time, Sunday night. They're going to premiere two episodes. There are 18 new episodes that will be shown. Brad, do we know over how long of a period of time they're going to take to show all 18? Are they going to do this 18 weeks in a row? Are we breaking this up over two seasons?
I think they're doing it all in a row. There might be 1 week off, but right around Labor Day is when the finale is oddly going to be on.
Okay.
Weird to say that.
But what they're doing, you told me this last time, two episodes the first weekend, but then actually the next two will be available online immediately if you want to dive ahead.
Yeah, and on demand. I think if you have Xfinity or whatever, you can go straight to your on demand right after that and watch it. Yeah.
But if you do that, if you watch all four, then you're going to have a few weeks with no brand new Twin Peaks, right?
Yeah, and probably a sleepless night, I imagine.
Well, it depends. It depends on how it goes. So let's talk for a minute about the movie that came out. So the series ends, and then David Lynch and most of the original cast create a movie. Did Mark Frost write the movie?
No. And actually, Mark chose not to participate. And you may not know this, but Kyle MacLachlan didn't want to do it. His role was actually replaced by Chris Isaac, and then Kyle changed his mind, and then they came back and did a few scenes with him.
Seriously, that's so interesting. I didn't know that. I did read today that MacLachlan, and I didn't know how much stock to put into it, that he didn't want to get typecast by doing this role again, so he was only in the movie in a limited fashion. So at first he didn't want to do it, then he said, okay, I'll do it, so they added him in a little bit.
Yeah, so if you watch that film, all the stuff with Chris Isaac was supposed to be Kyle MacLachlan.
That's interesting. But it really works out, I feel, the way they handle it. Don't you? I think it worked out well for the film.
Oh, yeah. I like that film, but those first 30 minutes is definitely my favorite with the FBI.
That's interesting. So the film deals with the death. A death that's referred to in the series of Teresa Banks. That's the first murder by the killer that we know of, at least, that the FBI gets involved in and starts opening up these doors to this other supernatural world. So I watched the movie today, as I was saying, Brad, for the first time in forever. And I read about how bad the reviews were when it came out, how it was panned here in America very badly, panned at the Cannes Film Festival, and did get some good reviews overseas, did get some good reviews for Cheryl Lee's portrayal of Laura Palmer in this, and that they said that over time the reviews have gotten better and better about it. And I think if you watch it now, especially if you're a Twin Peaks fan and know the show, I think if you haven't seen the series at all and watch this, it's tough. But if you know the show and then you watch this now, it holds up incredibly well, and it does a great job of telling the story and leads you, because the thing that was interesting about the series is this homecoming queen gets murdered, and she's the all-American, everybody loves her, she's this greatest person, but she had a dark side, and it's just alluded to in the show. You never see it because she's dead, but this shows all of that, and it makes you really understand why she would have ended up being like she was and having such a dark side and having drug issues and all the other things, wild child things she kind of did because of her life. I couldn't believe how good the movie was when I watched it tonight. I was so pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were taken aback when it came out because it was just so different from that TV show. And it doesn't wrap up all those cliffhangers that we were stuck with on the show. And I think you can't really go into a Lynch film with a lot of expectations of what it is supposed to be because he's just such a singular artist that he's not going to redo what he's done before. And I think that's something to keep in mind with the return of the show as well.
Yeah, definitely. So the movie comes, and you know what, here's the other thing I love about the movie, is that as I talked about, the series ends up with a lot of subplots that were fun and quirky when the murder mystery was going on, but afterwards just seemed like filler to me. And the movie deals not at all with any of that. I mean, most of those characters are barely in the movie at all. And some of them not at all, at all, at all. When we, you know, because like you said, at first it deals with the FBI before Kyle MacLachlan joins into the movie. There's other FBI agents investigating a murder. And then the Kyle MacLachlan part comes in. And then we get to Cheryl Lee playing Laura Palmer in her life. And all those other sub characters that were in the TV show really don't even appear in the movie almost at all. Nadine is not in the movie at all. Sherilyn Fenn was not in the movie at all. Was she supposed to be in the movie and declined to do it, or did he not plan on working on her storyline at all for the prequel movie?
I think Sherilyn was already booked for a movie, and I think that's one thing you have to keep in mind. I know Laura Flynn Boyle, she was also not in the film.
Right.
But I think all these actors may not have planned on this movie happening, so they were already booked up.
Well, and so Laura Flynn Boyle just gets replaced by Maura Kelly. Was she, and you have to know this, I imagine by now, was she really booked, or was she not interested in being part of it? Laura Flynn Boyle?
I have heard through the grapevine over the years that she didn't want to do it. I know that there's some nudity and some strong content, if you will.
Right.
So I think that may have been the catalyst for her opting out.
Okay. Maura Kelly does a great job, I think, as Donna Hayward in the movie. I think really does a good job. And I thought that they just did such a nice job with that whole storyline, and it was wonderfully done. So as we look to the show coming back this weekend, and I know you know a little bit about it, but you're not going to say, and I wouldn't want you to. What are you most looking forward to seeing? Because we do know that at least in some fashion, Nadine is back because she's in the, you know, they're in the promotional materials. Big Ed and Peggy Norma are back. Mitch and Amick is back. Sherilyn Fenn is listed on IMDb as only being in one episode, but she's been doing the promotional rounds too. So in some way she's back. What are you most looking forward to seeing and hearing about?
Well, I don't think you can depend on IMDb for anything. Nobody knows how many episodes they are in yet. What was your question? I'm sorry.
Well, what are you most looking for? And well, let's talk about that for a second, because you said that to me last time, because the IMDb list is out and the list that Showtime released of, I think, 217 actors that are in the whole series is out, with a lot of people making appearances. Jim Belushi's actually been doing the rounds with the cast. So that leads me to believe he's going to have more than just a very small role in the show. What are you most looking forward to seeing?
Well, I can't wait to see Kyle MacLachlan be Agent Cooper again. That's such a great character. And after all this time, who would have thought he would get to do his greatest role again? You know, and also on a very sad note, quite a few actors are handing in their last performances. You know, Miguel Ferrer left us a few weeks ago, and Catherine Coulson as the log lady will be appearing in some fashion. So it's going to be, you know, pretty emotional when some of these people step onto the screen.
Yeah. And I believe when that list came out, I believe Chris Cornell is actually at some point in this, the lead singer of Soundgarden, who just passed away.
I think you're talking about Eddie Vedder.
Well, I know Eddie Vedder is, but I swear there was, I thought it was more than just Eddie Vedder, unless it's Dave Navarro. I'll look it up in a minute, but I thought Cornell makes an appearance too. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
There are quite a few, there's quite a few musicians, but I don't think Cornell is on that list.
Okay. But there's 217 different people. Michael Cera's in it. Jim Belushi, as we mentioned, and Ashley Judd, Laura Dern, and we really don't know some really famous names, but might only have a very minor appearance in the show, right?
Yeah, it's very hard to say. I mean, there's a musician, her name is Sharon Van Etten, and she was in a Netflix show called The OA, and she was really good in that. So I hope she is a character coming up. That would be really cool.
What about the people that were, and you said don't trust IMDb, but there are a lot of people who were very integral parts of the series who are not listed at all as being in the this new version, the new 18 episodes of the series. One of them, Michael, the man from another place. Is it Michael Anderson?
Michael J. Anderson.
J. Anderson. So an integral part of the show. He's in all these dream sequences and helps Dale Cooper, you know, is just such an integral part of a lot of the weirdness. And we have to imagine that the weirdness is getting revisited. There's pictures of it in the promotional materials, in this the Black Lodge or the Red Room, this mysterious place with the red curtains that Dale Cooper has had visions of and been in the show. We know that this has to be dealt with, but he is not listed as being in the show at all. Now, my hope is that because I'm so impressed, I got to say, Brad, with how good Showtime has been to David Lynch about not revealing a damn thing about this show. It stuns me that they've honored him so that they're going to keep this quiet, because the executives, I would think, have got to be saying, hey, you know, a lot of people have never seen this before. They might not just tune in because we're saying tune in. They might want a little something, but they haven't given you anything at all. So I'm hoping that part of the mystery and part of what David Lynch has done here is also keep under wraps a little bit of people who are actually appearing in it. And I'm hoping somehow that the man from another place is going to be in this. Do you think there's a possibility he is, or do you think they just decided to work around that in some way? I know he announced himself that he was in negotiations, but they didn't work out. He has made it sound like he was supposed to be in it, but he couldn't work it out with them.
Yeah, he has made a few very strange public comments, and I wouldn't bet $5 on him showing up. I'll say that.
So you don't think he's in it?
No, I think a few bridges have been burned, if I had to say. I don't think he's going to be showing up.
Oh, so that's interesting. So you think that he overplayed his hand or did something to say, hey, you got to pay me more than a better rate to be in this?
It's certainly possible. Anything is possible, but I wouldn't take that bet.
Oh, well, that would be very sad, I think, that he does not make an appearance. How do you think they work around that? Because, I mean, he really was very integral. You would have to agree with that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think if you look back on the past of Twin Peaks and maybe even David Lynch, he uses these things as a chance to, gosh, I don't know. He calls them happy accidents. And I think that it's probably meant to be. I think they wanted him to be in there, and I think they're going to find a way to work around it, and it's going to work out. I really do.
Okay, I'm going to count on you being right about that. The other thing that I have not seen in any way, shape, or form is a mention of Donna Hayward, who, as we mentioned, was played by Laura Flynn Boyle in the TV show and Maura Kelly in the movie. There's no mention of Donna at all, and I feel like if we're going to get into... Well, I guess, nobody has to be there. If we assume that the show does pick up 25 years later, and we should mention that in the final episode of the show that ever aired, in one of those sequences, those surreal sequences in the Red Room, Laura Palmer tells Dale Cooper, I will see you again in 25 years. And so my general assumption is, we're picking up 25 years later. I know that isn't necessarily what it is, but that's the assumption. We see in just the little shots that everybody's older now, so we know that we're visiting Twin Peaks 25 years later at some point. But I would think that Donna would play into that in some way, shape, or form. And of course, 25 years have passed. She could have moved away. She could have died. Anything could have happened. But I'm surprised that we're not going to see anything of that character. Do you think there's any possibility that either Laura Flynn Boyle or Maura Kelly or somebody reprises the role of Donna, or do you think we don't see anything of Donna?
There was an interview with Lynch that came out yesterday, and somebody asked him directly about Laura Flynn Boyle, and he said, this story takes place without her. You'll have to ask her why she's not in it. So I don't think she's showing up, but Donna could. It could be a recast, and I don't think it's Maura Kelly. So I guess we're going to see. I mean, there's so many mysteries. I mean, I could list you 100 different questions I have about Sunday night.
Yeah, I imagine you could. And same thing, I heard Piper Laurie told Lynch she wanted to be in it, but she did not get called. I heard that Joan Chen would have liked to have been in it, but she did not get called.
Yeah, and when I was doing my book, Joan Chen's people, they would literally email me back within 5 minutes. So if they wanted Joan Chen in there, I think it would have happened.
She would have done it.
Rather easily.
The other person that I very much think we need some closure on is Heather Graham. She was the girlfriend of Dale Cooper as the show was ending. There was a big cliffhanger with her. And supposedly she said that she wanted to be in it, but did not get asked to be in it. Do you think that maybe that's a... I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't know if you read Mark Frost's book came out last year, The Secret History of Twin Peaks, but there was no mention of Annie. And they even mentioned the Miss Twin Peaks pageant that Annie wins. Mm-hmm. And someone different wins the pageant. So there is something very odd going on about Heather Graham's character, and I don't know what it is.
So wait a minute. They go back to they go back to that year's Miss Twin Peaks pageant and somebody else wins it?
Yeah, it's like an epistolary novel. It's like a collection of newspaper clippings and things like that. And someone else wins that pageant. Pretty weird, huh?
From that year. It's not a different years because they have that Miss Twin Peaks every year. So in that year, somebody else they have listed as winning. Well, that's fascinating.
Yes.
Is it somebody that we know?
Yeah. Yeah, they say it's Robin Lively's character.
the red-headed southern
girl
who was married to the mayor's brother, and after she killed him off was sweet talking the mayor into voting for her. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And that's very interesting. So what do you make of that? That's not just a quirk that they accidentally did. That is some sort of time shifting something or other, isn't it?
It's hard to say without spoiling the ending of the show, but I think somebody really bad has been up to a lot of crazy stuff. I'll say that.
Well, this is going to be interesting. By the way, I just looked up the full cast list. You're right. Chris Cornell is not listed. I think I was thinking of Trent Reznor, who is also listed besides Eddie Vedder as being in the show, along with 217 other people. Is there anybody else? And Michael Ankeen is the other one. Sheriff Harry Truman from the original, very much a part of the show in every way, who is not reprising his role. That one, though, as you told me last time, that has nothing to do with them not wanting him back, but he is fully retired from acting and did not want to appear in the show, right?
That's just a tricky question. I mean, I've talked to Michael a few times in the last couple of years, and he doesn't do anything that he doesn't want to do. And I remember he told me I would never, at one point, I think he was planning on doing Twin Peaks, and he told me that he would only do it for David Lynch, and he would only come out of retirement to work with people he really admires. And I think the last thing he did was The Descendants with Alexander Payne. So I know he's out in Hawaii, doing his thing, and I wish him all the best. I love that guy to death.
And so what do you think happened there? If he said he would only do it for David Lynch, why do you think that didn't work out? And do you think do you think some of these were story choices, that it wasn't, hey, we don't like them or they don't want to do it, but just that's not where the story is going? I mean, I imagine that he probably didn't want to just force somebody back in if it didn't fit the story, just so you could see him again. Do you think there were, because I could see, you know, we were debating this earlier tonight about the sheriff not being back, and I'm thinking, well, 25 years later and with the way the cliffhanger was, they could easily say he died because of things that happened in the time since.
It's so hard to say, and it's not my place to say, but I will say that's something that Twin Peaks has persisted on for 26 years is mystery.
Yeah, that's for
sure. And I think that's just going to have to be another mystery.
I guess it will, at least until 8 o'clock this Sunday night on Showtime. If you get it, Twin Peaks returns. Where will you be watching? What will you be doing?
I will be in my living room with my wife and my two poodles. The lights will be off. The phones will be off.
Wife and two poodles.
And as long as the power or the cable doesn't go out, everything's going to be fine.
Will you be having cherry pie or coffee? Will you be doing anything theme-oriented?
I'm going to be drinking coffee and eating cherry pie all day, so hopefully I don't slip into a coma.
Leading right
by
into
8
it.
O'clock.
Well, you can order Brad Duke's book, Reflections, An Oral History of Twin Peaks, on Amazon and other booksellers. It's a good way to help prime the pump to get ready for the show as it returns on Sunday night. And as Brad and I have said, if you're going to jump into it, watch the first 16 episodes for sure. You can fast forward through most of the rest till the end. You got to watch the last couple of episodes. Watch the Dale Cooper scenes at least in the last few episodes and then finish that last episode. And then if you have time, jump back and watch the movie. I've heard a buddy of mine says he's read that you really do need to watch the movie for some of this stuff that we're visiting in the reboot of the TV show. Would you say that that's a fair assumption, that it's important to see the movie?
Definitely. And David Bowie is in that film. Come on. It's one of the greatest Twin Peaks characters to see Bowie. I just love that guy.
Brad Duke's Reflections, An Oral History of Twin Peaks, available online. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks, okay?
All right. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
You bet, Brad. Have a great morning. That's Brad Duke's Twin Peaks. It returns this weekend. News returns in a couple of minutes here on 720 WGN.